A reading from the third chapter from the letter of James. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits in the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships, though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire, and the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species, but no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives, or a grapevine figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. The word of the Lord.
Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful people and kindle in us the fire of your love. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. That's what we read in our text from the letter of James this morning. Remember, last week I described the letter of James as being kind of a manual on how to live the Christian life. Well, here's another chapter from that manual. Years ago, Mel Gibson starred in a movie titled Lethal Weapon that also had several sequels to it, and he played a rather unorthodox police detective named Riggs. Well, Riggs is an incredible cop, but occasionally he kind of flips out and goes a little bit berserk, which means the body count goes up. Makes for a good movie. And he's called a lethal weapon because they never knew when or how far he was going to go off. Well, each of us possesses something that has the potential to make us a lethal weapon. It enables us to engage in moral hit-and-run tactics. It has the potential to kill the spirit in another person. It is a weapon that can act with deadly destructiveness. That weapon is our tongue. I remember a time when I heard a young Marine rattle off a very long string of obscenities that was so complex in its sentence structure that I wasn't sure which words were adjectives, nouns, or verbs. It was truly impressive. And then I heard a staff sergeant yell, "Hey, Corporal Jones." "Yes, Staff Sergeant," the Marine said. Staff Sergeant said, "You kiss your mother with that mouth?" Well, I was a young lieutenant. I had not heard that one. I thought I was going to die laughing. Seemed like a great response. It made the young man think. Didn't make him stop cussing, but it did slow him down just a little bit, at least in front of the staff sergeant. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so, writes the author of James. Remember that nursery rhyme we all learned as children? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Wrong. Words and names can be as deadly as poisonous darts. James writes in verse 8, "But no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison." Once a word is spoken by someone, it is beyond anyone's control. Now, tell me the truth now. How many of y'all have ever got, how many times has your tongue ever gotten you in trouble? I mean, when I asked myself that question, I lost count. Went way lost count. Well, no one is perfect, and no one has perfect control of his or her tongue. We all know people about whom it is hard to find a good word to say. We all have felt that hot anger rise within us, an anger which can produce poison from our mouths. Or am I just alone on this one? The Bible also says in various places that words are like a sharp razor, a sharp arrow, and a sword. Words can be weapons which cut far deeper than any weapons of iron or steel. When your skin is cut by a knife, the pain will pass away and the wound will heal in time. But when you're cut in the innermost part of your soul by a word, the pain may never go away, and you might carry the scar in your soul to your grave. Many of us carry scars inflicted upon us when we were children, when we were told lies about our lack of worth, and we came to believe them. How often do people spend the rest of their lives together without love or warmth because the scars never healed from words spoken in anger many years before? Okay, I've been emphasizing how important our words are, especially our negative words, but the Bible also says that the tongue is a double-edged instrument. If words can destroy, they can also save. In fact, God comes to us as a word, as capital W, big W, which does save. Remember the opening words of the Gospel of John? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God's Word in Scripture can grab people and change them in a way which no other force on earth can do. So the tongue is not just a negative instrument in the Bible. Yes, Scripture does call the tongue a fire and a sword, but look at Proverbs 15 in the Old Testament text for today. It is loaded with positive characteristics of the tongue and our words. A soft answer turns away wrath. The tongue of the wise dispenses wisdom. A gentle tongue is a tree of life. Elsewhere in Proverbs, I love Proverbs, we read, "The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life." I came across words spoken by a very special woman of the Christian faith, the sainted Mother Teresa, who said, "Kind words can be short and easy to speak, but their echoes are truly endless." It's always a blessing to see how a word can build someone up. When I visit someone in the hospital, I pray that God will give me the right words to say. And when God does give me those words, I see how much good they can do. When you praise your child or grandchild for a job well done and their face lights up with joy, again, you see how much good a word can do. Words do one more thing. They reveal something deep and intimate about the people who speak them. When we open our mouths to speak, we are exposing ourselves more profoundly than if we took off all our clothes on a busy street. The author of James further demonstrates that although the tongue is small, it has great influence and power over the rest of the body. It may weigh only about 2 ounces, but it can cause tons of damage or worlds of good. Now look at the images James uses in describing the power of the tongue. Verse 3, it's compared to a bit in the mouth of a horse. In verse 4, I love this, the tongue is compared to a rudder on a large ship, a small appendage that controls the entire body. Verse 5, James compares it to a spark which can set the whole forest burning. Only when the tongue is under the guidance of the Holy Spirit can it be used to heal, not hurt. By our own strength, we are incapable of overcoming the power of evil, which really is at the center of the problem of the tongue. I want to share just a couple of really quick ways about how we can use our tongues to empower us to be authentic witnesses for our Lord Jesus Christ. First, the words from our tongues should bless another human being. And I confess that I often find it challenging to live by this axiom. Easy to say and rationalize, tough to live out and remember sometimes. St. Paul gave great insight when he declared, "If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I gain nothing." Our tongue, if used for harm, leaves a great stain on the fabric of life. That is not a witness for our Lord. This is not to say that we are not to speak the truth, but even Scripture tells us that we are to speak the truth in love. In other words, we can offer words of correction or constructive criticism in ways that are truthful but gentle, intended to build up, not tear down. We are supposed to hold each other accountable. So speaking the truth in love is actually biblical. Proverbs 12 says, "Thoughtless words can wound as deeply as any sword, but wisely spoken words can heal." And second, when our tongues are connected to our souls, our words come from a fountain that blesses life, not corrupts it. Do our words reflect the Spirit's leading or our own desires, our own agendas? Our words then help shape our lives. Our words have us in them. They tell people who we are, our attitude toward others, and even how we feel about ourselves. As John said, "In the beginning was the Word, and it became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth." Words do have the potential to come to life and dwell among us. When our language is full of virtue and grace, those words move us closer to the gentleness of the Spirit. The tongue is a tremendously powerful tool. It can make a person feel like a zero or lift them to the zenith of life. May God grant our tongues and guide our tongues so that we may always speak the truth in love. And what a difference our words can make. How important it is when we speak to say words to one another of praise and peace. So, may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to God and a blessing to others. Amen.